This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Koto, you're back with us again for another episode of Aratoi On Air. I'm your host today, Nick Tepa, and I have a really wonderful guest with me here today. The very impressive, very accomplished Associate Professor Hilary Halbert from the University of Otago, among other places, Otago Whakaihu Waka. Hilary is a lecturer in the School of Performing Arts and has a storied career behind her as not only an educator, but a performer in her own right, and a theatre maker, a director, a deviser. What else do you say? Many, many things. Very, very talented. Very skilled. Hilary, you have to correct me if this is wrong, but I believe grew up in Milton.
Aye.
Yes.
Yeah.
And attended
Toko
Maerero High School.
Did you look me up on Wikipedia, Nick?
I did. And I see that
Do you know
been,
who wrote that?
Who?
Lisa Warrington.
Oh, bless. Bless. Which I didn't know. That was something I didn't know about you.
Aye,
there
yeah.
There you go. And then her journeys took her overseas at some point, which I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about, to New York to study at the Neighborhood Playhouse, study the Meisner technique, before returning to Aotearoa to work as a educator, a lecturer, an actor, many other things. The list of groups and people that Hilary has worked with is extensive. She was one of the founders of Kelimoko Productions here in Otsuputsi in the 90s.
Yeah, about 96, I think, we first sat down in my living room and went, this is an interesting idea.
Beautiful. And then in the early 2000s with WOW Productions.
Yeah, that was actually in the late 90s as well. WOW is going to celebrate its 30th birthday.
Of course it is.
In 2026. Yeah, WOW Productions Trust has been going since, also since
even
96.
Mid-90s
yeah,
then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stretching even further back. And has worked with many other companies, including Quartet Theatre Company.
Oh, yes, gosh.
In which she toured around Europe with a couple of fantastic New Zealand plays, Skin Tight and Mo and Jess Kill Susie.
Mm. Both by Gary Henderson, wonderful New Zealand playwright.
Wonderful New Zealand playwright. Seminal, even.
Yes, I would say that's a good word.
I think so. Fortune Theatre, obviously. Circa Theatre up in Wellington. Mm. Court Theatre in Christchurch. And she won the Best Female Performer Award in 2012 for her work in Samuel Beckett's play. And in 2003, she was named by... who was it? What was the magazine? 2003, you were named Dunedin's Best Actor.
Oh, it was
by the
New Zealand Listener.
New Zealand Listener.
Which is still going, thank goodness.
Which is still going.
Yeah.
More recently, has been heavily involved in both the world of verbatim theatre.
Yes, absolutely. With my research partner, Stuart Young, Emeritus Professor Stuart Young.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who recently released a book as well about verbatim and documentary theatre. Hilary herself having released her book alongside collaborator David O'Donnell last year on acting in Aotearoa, and also more recent work including work with Afterburner Theatre Company. What's the full name of Afterburner?
I mean, it's only ever just called Afterburner with a lowercase a.
And I guess it's not just theatre really, is it? It's kind of a bit broader than what you traditionally
think of. So Afterburner was started by my husband, designer and educator Martin Roberts, in the very early 2000s when he lived in Te Whanganui Atara, Wellington.
Yeah.
And he does kind of lighting installations, often large-scale lighting installations. He did a Sonne Lumiere here at First Church, actually, some years ago, which was fantastic. And when he came to Otsuputsi, he brought Afterburner with him. And it's under that I don't know, imprint or whatever you call it, that we've been working in collaborations with physicists at the Dodd-Wall Centre for Quantum and Photonic Technologies to make plays that are informed by and artistically aligned with concepts from physics. So, but Marty does also a lot of his own stuff, marvellous lighting installation that he did. This interview seems to be about Marty, but that's all good. A fantastic lighting installation he did some years ago called Dark Matter, which he performed here and also performed at Te Whaia up in Wellington. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, Afterburner. It's just Afterburner.
Just Afterburner, yeah. Lowercase.
Yeah.
It's very Gen Z of you.
Well, I didn't do it. It's not me. It's him. He loves the lower. He loves the lowercase.
Understated.
Yeah.
We have arguments about this in the office.
Do you?
About the use of lowercase as a stylistic form. I think it's cool. But maybe I'm showing my youth.
I didn't know what an afterburner was, actually. I didn't know what an afterburner was, actually, weirdly, until I got an electric car and I took it off eco mode and put my foot on the accelerator and it went woof incredibly quickly up a hill. And Marty went, got your afterburners on, Hillary. And I went, it's apparently the thing that propels a rocket, like real big time, gives it a big punch.
Is it the initial one? Because
I do
stages,
not
know. Right?
Do not ask me about the physics of the rocket, Nicholas.
That's fine.
I do
We've
not
wandered
understand.
Into unfamiliar territory. That's fine. Obviously, Afterburner, as I was kind of scrolling back through some of the previous work that you've done, Fission was an earlier
work. That was our first collaboration with Professor David Hutchinson and his team from the Dodd-Wall Centre from the Department of Physics. We kind of made a work to go, can we actually do this? Is there a way of kind of not doing an educational play about physics, not doing a biopic about a physicist, but actually doing some kind of work where the physics and the kind of artistry kind of transform to make a kind of new something or other?
Right, yeah. What was the seed for this kind of collaborative work? Obviously, you're saying it's not strictly science communication in a traditional sense, and it's also not a discussion of a character of a physicist, but what led you to this point?
So I was at school. Physics was like my worst thing. It was like I'd rather eat a cockroach. Honestly, I was my worst thing at school. And somebody who I can't even remember who it was that I did a workshop with when I was in New York went, lean into the discomfort. Lean into the thing, you know, don't be like Hillary at the gym and only do the arm ones because they're easy and don't do anything else because it's too hard. You know, lean into the things that you're not very good at or that you kind of, you know, seem to have an aversion to. And then also I had long conversations with my dear late friend Rua McCallum from Moeraki, who herself was a Matauranga scientist, Matauraka scientist. And she was like looking at Western science from a Māori perspective, from a kaitahu perspective actually. And so we started kind of having these conversations. Rua called them Eureka moments because we often sat in the bar and restaurant Eureka when we were having them. And from those, that kōrero, and also a kōrero with my colleague from Te Heringa Waka Victoria University of Wellington. So he and I took a long bus ride once in Australia. From those conversations, we went, what would happen if we did something with this physics idea, with this physics theatre idea? It seems on the face of it to be so kind of divergent, but what actually would happen if we kind of tried to interweave these ideas? So that's where it came from. It just came from my deep abiding fear and displeasure about physics when I was a young gal.
What a great place for it to come from, something so positive and interesting coming from a fear.
Yeah. But sometimes when my colleague David Hutchinson explains something to us, he goes, all right, Hillary, so. And then he explains something and I went, can you go back to All Right, Hillary, So, and just start again a wee bit slower? But I'm kind of getting ideas, you know, I'm kind of understanding things. And I think sometimes that comprehension comes from putting it within, I guess, putting it in the world that I understand.
Yeah. And it's so handy, I guess, that your partner in crime, Martin Roberts, is also seems deeply fascinated about physics as well.
I know. He arrived arrived out of the shower this morning. This is a very personal thing. But he's wearing a T-shirt with the periodic table on it. And I went, where did you get that from? And I bought it. I'm like,
that's great. And a different life, a chemist.
Perhaps, or something.
A chemist? Is that the right term
for
a scientist?
Yeah, if somebody does chemistry?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Amazing. So,
no, anyway, that's my collaboration with Afterburner, which I would not have had, by the way, if I had not decided to kick around with Martin Roberts all these years as husband and wife. I can momentarily think what I was. I guess our artistic collaboration also kind of went hand in hand with our partnership as human beings.
Yeah. And it's much easier to make things when you are making them with other people.
That's right. Although it is a bit annoying when you're having sort of Sunday breakfast and you suddenly go, oh, you know that scene where the blah, blah, blah happens? He's like, Ellery, let me eat my
we're
eggs.
At home. the most recent work, obviously, that was on for last year's Arts Festival, is that correct?
25, yes.
Yeah. So
Anderson Localization,
which in format is quite different from that first work. Fission.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Dark Radio as well. But Fission obviously being a more traditional theatre piece.
Yeah, it was in a theatre building and, it was a more traditional theatre piece, that's right.
Whereas Anderson Localization is this kind of pick a path, processional.
Yeah, it was a promenade work. It was a site-appropriate work. This seems to be the interview of Martin Roberts, but it's good. So David was explaining to us, Professor David Hutchinson, because I said to him, let's make something together next time that you're working on, as opposed to making this kind of generic work that was about kind of physics in general, which is what Fission was. Why don't we make something that you're working on in the lab? And so he said that something that he was doing at the moment was associated with this concept called Anderson localization. Mm. And I went, can you explain that to us? And he drew a diagram on the whiteboard and he explained it to us. And then I went, can you just go back to the start and explain it again? This is my wont. And he explained it again. And Marty gets this kind of look when his artistic brain is really kind of, you know, where it's really bubbling. And he kind of gets this faraway sort of 90-yard stare. And he went, oh, he said, it's a promenade. He just kind of saw it. He went, what you're talking about is people walking around somewhere in some kind of way. And so and I've been to quite a lot of promenade theatre, a lot of immersive theatre, installation theatre. I've also been to performances where the spectators listen with headphones on to various, things, being guided through the installation in some kind of way. So we decided that that's what we wanted to do, and we decided we wanted to do it in a laneway. So we found this fantastic laneway, which is called No Name Alley, down by the Steamer Basin Tap Room. And I have to say that the Steamer Basin Tap Room is a fantastic pub, listeners just go there. It's wonderful. You can also do silent reading in the Steamer Basin Tap Room, but that's another story. But they were so unbelievably generous because we started the piece and we ended the piece in the Steamer Basin Tap Room. And the idea was that I think we had something like 15 participants, 12 or 15 in each performance, because it was only small, that for a range of dramaturgical reasons, the participants had to drink a special elixir which shrank them to atomic size, and then they had to move as the particles move within this concept that aligns with Anderson localization.
They're
and they end up always
wonderland.
Yes, a quantum wonderland. Wish I'd had that on the poster, Nick Tepa. Why didn't you think of that a year and a half ago? But in that concept, everything comes back to the source. So they all came back to the pub again and drank an anti elixir where they unshrank and became a human. And it was very interesting because I'm like, are a whole bunch of kind of grown up humans going to get down with this? And they were so loved the idea of drinking the elixir and shrinking, and they had to do things in various places within the installation, and it kind of moved them around a very singular pathway for each participant. So maybe we all still like to play even though we're grown-ups.
I think so. I think the invitation as well, when theatre becomes more than just witnessing something and becomes at least the illusion of really engaging with it and getting to drink a thing, is like, ooh, these sensors don't normally get activated when I go to see theatre.
Yeah, and they just kind of got down with it. Oh, what if we shrink to atomic size? That
That's
would be
great.
Fun. Yeah, so it was cool. And we had a fantastic playwright who wrote to that brief, Amanda Martin, Amanda Faye Martin, who's a playwriting fellow at the University of Otago. And so she was part of that development process too and creative process.
Really interested because you've done quite a lot of I guess traditional theatre work as well, and probably earlier in your career as well, being in the US, coming here. I know seeing you on the Fortune stage, I've seen you. Hillary is a phenomenal actor, if the listener award
to
wasn't
be believed.
Enough to tell you. And it interests me how you went from that kind of world of quite trad theatre into a world that really seems to be pulled along by your curiosity in the best way in the creation of the work that you make now. And I guess that's not a qualification. It's just a pathway. And it would be cool to hear what you...
I suppose it's not either or.
No.
I suppose being an actor is, well, you're an actor yourself of some note and prize-worthiness and prize-receivingness. They were always kind of drawn by a curiosity, right? Because I was just kind of... When I first started acting, I couldn't kind of figure out how to immerse myself in a role in a way that was kind of engaging and practical and useful. And I suppose my curiosity drove me to New York, actually, drove me to the Neighbourhood Playhouse, because it seemed to me that eventually it occurred to me, Nick, it didn't do so initially, I can tell you, but actually everything that you do on stage is relational. And that, you know, that never occurred to me for a long, long time as a, you know, young aspiring actor.
And for many actors, it never does, for better or worse.
And so I really kind of dug the Meisner technique for that reason, because I really like the fact that immersiveness again, that you can immerse yourself in the behaviour of another person in a set of given circumstances, to, you know, use the technical term, where the actor, where the character is, what they're doing, why they're doing it now.
Yeah.
It's a kind of rabbit hole that never finishes. Like, you can never ever, you know, there's always more to mine out of that kind of relationship, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess curiosity just drove me there as well, I guess. Yeah.
Obviously, we were briefly speaking before about Sleep No More, but there other works that you've seen that have kind of also, I guess, piqued your curiosity in a way that's been like, oh?
Well, I remember the first time Marty and I went to Sleep No More, I was like, I love this. So just for listeners, Sleep No More is a gigantic, immersive, I would say, performance installation over several floors in a building in Chelsea in New York City. And the kind of imaginative location, not the real location, I think it's an old office building, but the imaginative location is a place called the McKittrick Hotel. So it's this pretend hotel. And it seems that you can wander anywhere and do what you like. You're supposed to follow the performance through the installation. But if you're Hilary Halbert, you don't do that. You go off wandering by yourself and find little rooms. And the whole place is just full of clues the set dressing is just extraordinary.
Environmental storytelling.
Environmental storytelling. Write that down as well.
That's a video game term, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is you not being there on a screen, but this is you being absolutely immersed inside it. I loved it so much. And what happens is that you get in you get given a playing card, and you get in an elevator, and you get let off in a certain place. But the elevator, the performer that's in the elevator that lets you off lets one person off in a different place. And Marty and I went to see it twice. And the second time I said to him, I'm going to do something to that elevator guy so he lets me off on a different floor. So this is the second – we went to see it about 2 or 3 weeks later again, because we'd met the production manager and various people and had conversations about the work. And so I did. I kind of made eye contact with the guy and, you know, it was – I don't know, whatever. And he let me off in a different place. And I got off and I went, I have just spoiled this for myself. Because the whole point of the exercise is that the installation has kind of more status than you, right? As opposed to you being in charge of the installation, it's in many ways in charge of you and in charge of your experience of it. So it was a very unusual and kind of massively important finding that you can't try and control it, because the minute you control it, you just spoil it for yourself. So I stood in this room that he let me off in, and I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't done that now.
If you refuse to play the game, you don't get what the game has to offer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking about in terms of like Le Jeu and that Gaulier kind of idea.
That's right.
Of play, but you actually have to find that game, and you can't just...
You can't control the game.
You can't control the game.
You've got to let the game play you.
Yeah. Let the game play you.
Yeah. And I did not do that. And I did spoil it for myself.
A good lesson, though.
Mm-hmm.
A great lesson as well for looking to make work like that, because it tells you the kind of relationship you're trying to facilitate with your audience, right?
Mm.
When you went to Sleep No More, when was this?
Oh, it's years ago now, 15, 20 years ago,
right.
I think. Years and years ago. It's when they'd started it in the UK, and then they brought it over to New York in the end of the kind of 2000s, around about the beginning of the 2010s. I can't remember what. Maybe 8, perhaps.
2008. Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a great lesson for me. And also, I was like, I was trying to be too clever for my own good. And all of that's going to be a really important lesson, I think, for all of us that you know, we have to let the game play us.
You have to let the game play you sometimes. Mm. We're probably going to – I was hoping to play a track, but you know what?
What?
This is far more interesting. Huh. Listen to a track anytime. The track I was going to play was Scapegoat Mercy Love. Check it out. You can listen to it on Bandcamp as part of the Otsipoti Ho vinyl compilation album. Lots of amazing Dunedin artists on that.
Yeah.
Scapegoat Mercy Love. Listen to it. I want to ask you obviously, your book was released last year, which is a fantastic resource for generations of theatre makers to come. And it reflects on the craft of acting in Aotearoa and how it's developed.
Mm.
What's next for you / Afterburner?
Can I just say that it's also just in deference to the people who contributed to the book. It's actually an edited book. So while I did write a chapter, and my co-editor David O'Donnell, Emeritus Professor David O'Donnell, also wrote a chapter, and we wrote the introduction together. But there were lots of fantastic contributors to that book.
Take all the credit, Hilary. Take it all. No, that's a very good point.
Because I did choose the cover image.
It's a good image too.
It is a great image of the fabulous Wellington actor Trey Tuwiki, actually.
Who else is featured in the book? Who else is writing is featured in the book?
Oh, a lot of people. Dr. Annie Ruth, who was for many years the head of Toi Whakaari New Zealand Drama School. Dr. Vanessa Burns, who is an expert on the Mike Alfreds technique, which was a very kind of important acting technique that got introduced in Aotearoa in the 1980s.
Different every night.
Yeah, different every night, which is the name of his book, but also the sort of modus operandi of his technique. Associate Professor Nicola Highland and Trey Tuwiki, the person who appears on the cover, but they written a chapter about they talk about Wairua and the way that Wairua is interwoven into acting. Mm-hmm. We have several interviews. I interview the fabulous Jim Moriarty and the fabulous Helen Pierce Ōtene and the fabulous Lisa Maul from Te Rākau Hua Theatre Company. And interviews quite a few people. Dr. Pedro Ilgenfritz, who is a mask and clown expert.
Based up at Hagley Theatre School.
In Ōtautahi, absolutely. Yeah. I interview Miranda Harcourt, Dame Miranda Harcourt, who is an international acting coach and a fabulous, actor and director in her own right, filmmaker, screen, it's everything really. Just about kind of her approach to teaching acting, and she draws on everything from quantum physics to philosophy to, you know, everything that she can
whatever
lay
works.
Her hands on. Yeah, whatever works. Yeah. So there's a whole lot of people, Murray Edmund, Dr. Murray Edmund from Auckland, interviews with Dania Heke, who is the head of Toi Whakaari currently. So some really, I think, interesting things. Fantastic actors, people like Anna Pelopola Teivau, who is a fabulous actor and director, seen in the movie Tina.
Yes,
wonderful actor. So, a lot of really, really interesting people who just bring all their own perspectives. I also talked to Yelena Stajko, who is a wonderful acting coach from Auckland, originally from Kyiv in the Ukraine, and came to Aotearoa in the 80s. And she teaches the Michael Chekhov technique in her studio in Auckland. Wonderful teacher. If anyone's heading to Auckland, she's a wonderful person to study with. A lot of really interesting people. And locally, we Lara McGregor, of course, who's appearing at the moment at the Circa Theatre in Wellington, in a show called Julia, about Julia Gillard. A lot of actors just giving their own actors' own voices, because we wanted to hear the voices of actors and how they trained, how they approach creating a role, what their what they do as actors. Mm. Yeah,
phenomenal.
And you were going to ask me something, and I forgot what you said.
We're running directly out of time.
We are running directly out of time.
30 seconds. So
what?
Just say before we go, thank you so much for coming in today, Associate Professor Hilary Halber.
Didn't you have a quote from somebody?
Oh, I have a quote from Sarah Georgie, but we'll have to.
You can tell me later.
I'll post it on socials. Thanks for listening in today on Aratoi On Air. It's been wonderful to be heard by you. I don't know. Anyway, but hope you have a good one. Have a lovely weekend and keep safe out there. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.